coming down the line, fading off the souls of the lost and Christ. Rails of sin only keep in the rain. Watch out, brother, for that long black line. You can move to the heavens, you can move to the sky. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes.
There is protection and there's peace. The same, burning your ticket for that all-black train.
Cause there's victory in the Lord I say. Victory in the Lord. Claim to the Father and His holy name.
Making you wonder if the ride's worth the pain.
He's just a way for your heart to say,
let me ride on that long black train.
Cause there's victory
in the Lord I see.
Victory in the Lord. When to the Father and His holy name. Don't go right
on that long black train.
From a mile away, it sounds so good, but I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Claim to the Father and His holy name. Don't go right
on that long black train.
Say, cling to the Father and His holy name. Go
right on that long black train.
Yes, watch out, brother, for that long. The devil is a driving that long.
All right, good to see everyone this morning, and everybody know where we're at? Where? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So if you would, turn to Psalms. Psalms 34. Now I'm going to read quite extensively this morning. I'm going to read quickly, try not to say much. I think when I get through, you'll see why I read so much. Just going to read a few verses as we go. Psalms 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, woman, boy, girl that trusteth in Him. Verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The word contrite there means crushed powder. There's one person, and only one person, that God is going to hear. The person with a broken heart and a crushed spirit. We call it humility. Humble yourselves, he says, before the mighty hand of God. And then he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now look, if you will, at Psalms 51. Psalms 51. Verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I will give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Now, both of those were given by God to the Jewish people to do. But it's not just doing something, folks. That's, if I could equate church going with that. You know, the Bible says this, that we are not forsaking thyself to assemble as the manner of some is, but to encourage one another, but even more so as you see the day. Well, if you can't see the day approaching, you're not looking. Well, if you can see the day approaching, then bless God, the house ought not to be half full. It ought to be full. But it ought to be full because you have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that's what brought you here.
That's right.
Else, he says, it's no good. The sacrifices, plural, of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite, O God, will thou not despise? If you come his way, he's not going to despise you.
That's right.
But you can't come any other way than his way.
That's right.
Else he doesn't accept it. I'll show you that in just a second. Hang with me. Do good in thy pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks unto thy upon thy altar. In other words, he says, after you've got that, then bring your sacrifices, and he'll receive it. But see, they had gotten to the point to where they were just doing it. And they thought the doing it was pleasing God. Well, that's not true. And if we come here this morning to church so that we can tell us, well, I went to church yesterday. So, well, you want a medal? God doesn't honor it unless you come away. He said come. If we come in here this morning with a proud look, folks, we might as well turn around, go get in our car, and go about our business.
Right.
Because God's getting nothing. But you see, the other thing about that is, God won't forget either. You know, God doesn't forget how we come in here. You know, we might think, well, he don't really care how I go to church or why I go to church, as long as I go. Well, I beg to differ with you. Now, look, if you will, at Isaiah 57 real quick. Isaiah 57. Verse 57:15. For thus saith the high and the lofty one. Well, we all know who that is. He's not but one. That's why the one is there. The high and the lofty one. There's not two. Remember last week I read you about Satan. That's what he wanted to be. That didn't work out too good. That inhabiteth eternity, whose name is, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is a contrite and humble spirit. So if you want to be in his presence for eternity, bless God, you're going to have one thing. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. You're going to have to come in humbleness. He hates pride. You can't come thinking God owes you something. Or me. You know, I sometimes when I teach, I go back and listen. You know, and I'm always saying you a lot. Well, you is really a generic term for me. It's like saying us, you know. So don't take it personally. It's not a personal indictment on anyone. But it's just how I speak. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wrath. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid him, and was wroth. And he went on forwardly, proudly, in the way of his heart. Well, who's he going to bring his wrath, his anger, his wrath on? The proud. And if you're too proud to come to Christ that way, you're just not going to come. And even if you come, he's not going to hear you. He's not going to even see you. That's how serious it is, folks. God, you know, sometimes we try too much to equate God on our terms. God ain't on our terms.
That's right.
I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Why is that? Well, but going by what we've read so far, why is that? Why does it say that? Why does it say there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked? Why do the wicked not have peace?
They don't have God.
Well, why don't they have God? Thank you, honey. Because they have not come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. They are proud. That's what makes them wicked. They're contrary to God's word. He said how to come. He said who to come through. His son. But if you're too proud for that, it's not going to work for you. Now look, if you will, at 60, chapter 60. Now I'm going to read quite extensively here. You know, it'd be nice, not 60, but 66. It'd be nice if we had a chapter in the Bible that if you read that chapter, you'd about have the whole Bible in your mind. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That'd be wonderful, don't you think? If I just knew this one chapter, it'd tell me the Old Testament and the New Testament, the beginning and the end, and how it all comes out. Well, let's see what happens. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Now listen, the reason he starts out by saying that is, you can't come proud to somebody whose throne is heaven and the earth is their footstool. I mean, how are you going to come proud to them? Well, let's see what he says about that. Where is the house that you build unto me? Now, we call this the Lord's house, right? Well, this ain't the Lord's house. Because you can't put God in here, can you? If his throne is heaven, and we don't even know how big heaven is, And if the earth is his footstool, that's 25,000 miles in circumference, and he just sets his feet on it, pretty big feet, wouldn't you say? So where are you going? What house are you going to put him in? Now, the reason he's saying this is because they thought they'd built him a big temple. Boy, they've something special. They've built God a temple. No. No, you don't put God in a box. You don't put him in a temple. You don't put him in. He's God. For all those things hath mine hand made. You know, it amazes me. And I say this with respect and kindness, really. I know I sound angry sometimes. I'm not angry. I just get frustrated. I do. This green thing just drives me insane. You know, they're trying to save a planet. And he says, how are you going to save it? You didn't make it. How are you going to save something you didn't make? I mean, they've got so smart now. You know, now they can save planets. Well, no, that's a proud look. That's pride. And he don't honor that. So anyway, he says, for all those things hath mine handmade, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, as big as I am, as much as I've made, if you want me to look to you, well, it says that is poor and of a contrite spirit and tremble at my word. The poor there, that doesn't mean financially, doesn't mean materialistically poor. The poor in spirit shall. The poor in spirit shall inherit the earth. So he's saying that are poor in spirit and contrite in spirit, that have a crushed spirit, that realize, Lynn, I'm nothing, God. Who is man that thou art mindful of him, O Lord? Or the son of man that thou should eat? Who are we? Who are we that God should give us a second of his time? But he says, that's the kind of person I'm going to hear that comes to me that way. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. Well, he told him to bring an ox and offer his sacrifice, didn't he? But he says, when you come with pride, my goodness, you might as well kill a man. But he that sacrificed the lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they that have chosen, circle that, mark that, remember that, they have chosen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We better never give up that word. People that are lost choose to be lost. People that live a life contrary to what God said choose to. And don't blame God and say, I was born this way. You choose it. Because you have a choice. It's what he said, I have set before you this day blessing, cursing, life, death. What's the very next word? Choose. We live in a society now, and sometimes it just makes me sick at my stomach. We live in a society where people's choices are no longer held accountable to them. We've got teenagers running around committing crime because the law says, well, they're just teenagers. We won't do anything to them. Don't get me wrong. It breaks my heart. I told my wife, I watched that deal in Chicago where they were just running like wild people. Teenagers burning cars, beating up people, shooting people, breaking into businesses, owning the street. The police couldn't even do anything with them. And I said, honey, what's far worse than that? They don't know God. If they knew God, they wouldn't be out there doing things. But then you've got a society that says, well, don't demonize them. We don't want to treat them too roughly. My dad would have demonized me. My dad would have treated me roughly. And I'll guarantee you, I wouldn't have got back in that street for nothing. But folks, we've lost it. Why? Because we don't believe God anymore. That's pride. That's thinking we know more. I also will choose their delusions. they make a choice. I'm going to make one too. I also will choose their delusions, their punishments, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. And when they call, I won't answer. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? What does that tell you? That's a question. Anybody want to guess at what that tells you? I mean, it's okay if you're wrong. I'm going to help you. No. Here's what that tells me. You don't have to choose to call on him now. But there's going to come a time, Jimmy. Mark it down, son. When every man, woman, boy, and girl will cry out to him. And he's going to do this. I won't hear you. Remember I read to you where he says, and I won't pity you either. You say, well, what kind of a God is that? A righteous one? A holy one? A sovereign one? I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that which is in which I delighted not. If you remember in Zechariah, if you were here Wednesday night, you heard that same thing. Where he says, I'll just put my fingers in my ear. You're going to call out to me. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. I don't care if it's your 15-year-old child. I don't care if it's your 40-year-old husband. I don't care if it's your 80-year-old husband or wife. Bless God, everybody is going to bow and everybody's going to confess. It'd be a lot better for you if you do it here. Because when you do it there, I ain't going to hear you. I'm going to get my glory, but I ain't hearing you cry. Look over at verse, I'm just going to keep reading. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Remember, we just read that to you. That's who he hears, they that tremble at my word. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, yea, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Oh, they're mocking you now. The day's coming for them. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice from the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? If God says so, it will. Israel came forth in one day when God said that's who it is. Remember Jacob? He says, I am changing your name to Israel. And the child was born at his word. Equate that with salvation, my friend. Unless he gives you the word, you ain't saved. Unless he gives the word, you won't be saved. But if you'll come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, bless God, in one day you'll be born again. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall the nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? In other words, am I going to save you but not bring you home? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck. Be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. Remember that word. That ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. You're going to share when the new Jerusalem comes down. You're going to share in it. If what? If you come to me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and tremble at my word. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Bless God, it's going to be good. When Lynn comes and says, Tom, let's run up to Jerusalem and see the Lord. Maybe you ain't getting that. I am, bless God. We'll just go up there, Jimmy, and sit down. And you know what he says he's going to do? Bless God, he's going to comfort you. You know who's going to comfort you? The one that made everything with his hands. That just said, let there be, bless God, there was. He's going to comfort you, and he's going to comfort me. Think about that. Yeah. And not for 10 minutes either. I wish I could go to Rick Taylor's room and comfort him and comfort his little wife and his little daughter. But I can't. But I know what he can. And one day, oh, one day, bless God, we're going to step on the streets of gold. And he's going to comfort us forever. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. That's what I say. Yeah. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants and his indignation toward his enemies. Bless God, there it is. You made the right choice, I'm going to comfort you. They made the wrong one, I'll show you what I'm going to do to them. It won't comfort them either. For behold, the Lord will come with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fear and his rebuke with flames. Anybody heard that lately? When God shall come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. You say, well, Tom, that's in Thessalonians. I'm teaching it just as hard, bless God, as I can. It doesn't matter whether you're in the old or in the new. That message don't change, folks. It ain't got a new message in the New Testament. It just confirms the message in the New Testament.
Right.
For by fire and by his sword with the Lord will the Lord plead. Well, that don't mean he's going to beg them. That word means he's going to give out punishment and justice and indict them. Verse 19. No, verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. You better get in God's plans what you better do. You know, you go to these financial planners, and all of them's got a different plan on how to make you rich. God's got one plan. It'll make you rich. It'll make you rich. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Anybody read the book of Acts lately? Well, that's the book of Acts right there in one verse. Just go read it. It's talking about reaching out to the Gentiles, and he had one man in mind to do it, bless God, and that was Paul. He says, I don't want this message just to my children Israel. I want it to Gentiles too. That's why he brought the nation of Israel in place, folks, was to send out and evangelize the Gentiles. But they ended up perverting it and hating them. They didn't want them in. So like that old saying, us four and no more. But God says, that ain't my plan. You wouldn't do my plan, I'll do my plan. Bless God, I'll send them everywhere. They're going to know me. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts of my holy mountain Jerusalem. They're going to come every which way they can come, but they're going to come. Saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord, and I will also take of them for priests and the Levites unto the Lord. Anybody read Peter lately? We're a royal priesthood.
Amen.
He hath made us priests unto God.
Right.
Well, there it is. In one verse, a whole two books of Peter. For as the new heavens, anybody read Revelation lately? As the new heaven and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. With the bright robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come. Oh, God's good. But God is also vengeful. You better get your children in, I'm telling you. I can see that door closing. You say, what door? Bless God to the ark. But you know how merciful God is? He said, yet 7 days. Yet 7 days. Boy, we'll give him 7 more days to get in. You know what happened after the 7th day? Bless God, knowing them went in and he shut the door. Folks, that's not mythical. That's true. Oh, I wish somebody believed it. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, endless. That's what it's talking about. Oh, verse, I didn't read the new heaven, I'm sorry. Which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. You know what they call that? I made me a little note right there so I wouldn't forget. It's eternal life. Oh, that's what John 3 says. Whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Then it goes on saying, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Well, you know what that's saying? If you ever want to know what you're doing in heaven, bless God, you're going to be worshiping him forever.
Right.
And you're going to want to do it.
Yeah.
And forever don't seem long enough for all he's done. But then this. Oh, that's good. We can rejoice and I can cry and sob and hide and shout and everything else. But then this, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worms shall not die. Neither shall their fire be. If I'm not mistaken, that's the very words of Jesus. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He's talking about hell. Well, folks, we've just went from heaven to hell. And it becomes what? I know I don't make it plain sometimes. But it becomes what? A choice. A choice. One's blessing. One's cursing. Don't ever say, I'd read more, but I can't understand it. It's just that one dichotomy goes all from Genesis to Revelation, folks. It doesn't change. You'll find it in every one, that dichotomy. of a choice. You know, when he separates, there's some on the right and there's some on the left. Well, how do you get on the left? You chose not to be on the right. And if we don't have preachers and teachers that are telling people that, how are they going to know? How are they going to know? You're going to answer for your choice. And God ain't funning about it either. Now look, if you will, at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm going to get to Thessalonians, I promise. I'm just trying to get you to understand it when I get there. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Everybody knows these verses. I could probably just let somebody stand up and quote them, but I won't. John chapter 3, verse 16. Anybody remember that? Well, I would hope you do. For God so loved the world. Here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, how much more could you love? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that's, hey, we quote that. We teach children that. We say it from the pulpit. We say it from the classroom. We say it, don't we? How many times you ever heard anybody say 17 and 18? Huh? Well, 17 says this. For God sent not his Son into the world to damn it. The word condemned there means damned. Now, file that, because in Thessalonians, he's going to just say it. That they should believe a lie and be damned. Well, it's the same word. So he says, and God sent not his Son into the world to damn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So is there not a choice in that verse? Do you want to be damned or saved? Which is it? Well, everybody say, well, when I die, I want to go to heaven. Well, then you better go God's way. Or you ain't going. Well, listen. You are a broken record. And I know I am. But folks, this whole book's a broken record. You know, we don't need to come in here and act theological. We just need to get the message. What choice have you made? What choice will you make? What choice will you teach your children to make? He that believeth on him is not damned. Pretty plain, isn't it? Believeth not is damned already. That's not where you're going to be. That's where you are. You've got 2 feet in hell already. But you know who can get you out, Lynn? The same one said, if you'll come to me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and tremble at my word, I'll reach down there and get you. Your feet won't be hot no more. You'll rejoice with me forever. But if you don't, you'll stay there forever. And ever. And ever. Why? Why? You made the wrong choice. Don't blame God. God give you a choice. You just wouldn't make it. Well, let's see if that's true. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Maybe I haven't read this somewhere. I don't know. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the Son, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is the damnation right here. That light is come into the world. Christ. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth. That don't mean you continually do it. Bless God, that means a one-time action. When you came to the choice, when you came to the split in the road, you chose not to go the right way. There's consequences for choices. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You wouldn't go God's way because you hated him. Neither cometh to the light, but lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, he that comes and commits one time and chooses truth. Did you not see that? Is that not simplified? Simplified now. It's a choice. And when the altar call is given on Sunday morning by Nick or by our pastor, and you walk out the door, you chose the wrong thing. It was offered to you. And I'm going to tell you something. Now you take this for what it's worth. I don't care. You can hate me, love me, throw rocks at me. I don't care. When the altar call is given, bless God, you ought not be up and moving around. It's a serious time, folks. It's a time of choosing. And the least little thing can distract. The least little thing, Satan can get their minds off of that choice. Convict them. Don't let them leave. Don't let them make the wrong choice. Hell's waiting for the wrong choice. Heaven's waiting for the right one. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made. You know what that's saying? Let me give you Tom Foster's paraphrase on that. When you come to him, you have to understand he already knows everything. He doesn't need you to tell him about yourself. He doesn't need you to stand there for 25 minutes telling him, oh God, I've done this, and oh God, I've done that. He already knows. All he wants you to do is say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. I need to be made right. Well, that's, you know what happens, Jimmy? Bless God, you're right. Hey, in a second, you're birthed. Remember he said, at my word, it just happens. It's not a process. Salvation's not a process. It's instantaneous. Right. You go from old to new.
Yeah.
I know I'm carried away this morning. I don't even know what time it is. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 1. You know where I'm going now, bless God. And there's no young people in here. I'm going to be very, very explicit, folks. So if you don't like it, now's the time to get up and get out. Otherwise, you may say, Tom, that's offensive. But, if God were to offend you, you'll just have to be offended. Wherefore? No, wait a minute.
What chapter?
Chapter 1. I'm going to read real quick now because time's running out. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. It's put in every person, folks, the ability to make the right choice. Make no mistake about that. It's in you. It's in you. And he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You'll not stand before God and say, God, I didn't know. Well, you're making God a liar because he says, no, I put it in there. You just refuse. You love darkness rather than light. I put it in you to choose the light. God's not, hey, God is fair. He says, I put it in you. You'll have no excuse. Because that when they knew God, when they had knowledge of God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was... Why was their foolish heart darkened? Well, because it's foolish for one thing, but because they chose the dark way. Remember, he says, you didn't want to come to the light because your evils were dark. That's what he says. And he says, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God uncorruptible God into an image made like it to a corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts. You took God, bless God, him like a creature. You took the Creator and made him like a creature. You set up a statue, or you just took something and worshiped him. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. It's dangerous, folks, to make that wrong choice. I mean, it can have eternal ramifications. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's the truth, he says. That's what amen means. For this cause, God gave them up. Now, that's the second time he's given them up, right? Gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, if you don't know what that's talking about, see me later and I'll try to explain it. But I think there's no one in here that doesn't know what that's saying. And likewise, in the same way, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Folks, he's talking sexually here. Let's just get that out. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another. They weren't born that way. They chose that way. Because God gave them up to a reprobate mind. And if you don't think they've got a reprobate mind, bless God, just watch this transgender thing. They're insane, folks. And I say that with all love. God would save them. Broken heart and contrite spirit. But I don't know if they're going to or not. He says this. Burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. Now that word in the Greek is pudendo. It means women's genitals. Men are using men's bodies in the same way. Folks, it's wrong. It's an abomination. And it ain't changed. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for it. And I'm telling you right now, this country, if it keeps going, is going to be destroyed for it. God's not funning. You say, Tom, you're being judgmental. You're being hateful. No, bless God, you don't know my insides. They've made a wrong choice. They'll have to pay for it. I don't care who they are. But he goes on to say, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. No, wait a minute, I'm sorry. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their delusion is the word. Delusion. They've become deluded. They think what they're doing is right. Well, who's to say who can love who? You know, well, God. I got to read fast. Stop the clock or something. I got to read fast. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He gave them up, and now he's given them over. And do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, and full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents. Do you know why they had the manifesto of that young, I don't know what to call her, the transgender in Nashville, that killed those three children and those three men. You know why they won't let that manifesto out? Because bless God, it'll tell you that this is right. They won't let it out. You'll never see it, I don't think. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We got God's word. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. Hey, they know. They know what they're doing is wrong. They don't care. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of, not from us, from God. You can come in, I'm finishing up. Not only do the same, but have pleasure. They know they're going to hell for it, and they don't care. They're going to have pleasure in it. Why? God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Why? They made the wrong choice. Why? They didn't choose to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and I'm done.